But it's time now for a very rapid survey of the contents of the sutra. A very rapid survey indeed. This will give you some idea of the material with which we shall be dealing in the course of these 8 weeks. After giving that rapid survey of the contents of the sutra, we'll then indicate how we propose to organise the material of the sutra in these lectures, and then conclude. Now, the existing text of the sutra is divided into 19 chapters. And the first chapter is introductory. In this first introductory chapter, we find ourselves with the Buddha on the Vulture's Peak, where so many of the Mahayana sutras were delivered, not far from the city of Rajagriha. And we find Ananda. And Ananda is not just listening, not just remembering, he's questioning. He questions the Buddha, and the Buddha replies. And he replies praising the Sutra of Golden Light. In chapter 2, we're introduced to a bodhisattva called Vujjaraketu, which means beautiful comet. And Vujjaraketu lives in Rajagriha. He's a bodhisattva, which means he's a very good, even a very advanced Buddhist, but he's worried. And what is he worried about? Well, he's got a problem. No, it's not a psychological problem, it's a spiritual problem, even a metaphysical problem. He's worried by the question of why the Buddha had such a short life, only 80 years. So, 4 Buddhas appear to him. And as a result of the appearance of those 4 Buddhas, he comes to understand that the Buddha's length of life is in fact immeasurable. In chapter 3, the same bodhisattva has a dream. And in this dream he sees a Brahmin beating a drum, a golden drum. And the drum sends forth a series of beautiful verses of confession. And it's these verses, of course, which are the nucleus of the whole sutra. In chapter 4, which is called Abundance of Lotuses, the Buddha himself speaks, and he tells of a king who had once praised the Buddhas of the past, present and future. And though we are not explicitly told so, this king is apparently the bodhisattva Vujjaraketu in a previous existence. Chapter 5 deals with emptiness. It's called On Emptiness, Shunyata. It deals with the subject of Shunyata. Chapter 5 is the longest chapter of the whole sutra. It occupies a fifth of its total length. And in it, the 4 great kings, that is to say the protectors of the 4 quarters of the world, promise to protect the sutra. That is to say, the Sutra of Golden Light. In particular, they promise to protect the monks who proclaim it and the kings who promote it. In the next 2 chapters, and in chapter 10, 3 goddesses come forward, and they all make similar promises to protect the sutra. And these 3 goddesses are Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, Shri, the goddess of wealth, and Dridha, the earth goddess. Chapter 9 deals with the maintenance of the names of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And in this chapter, various Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are enumerated, simply enumerated, and saluted. And among them, there are several that play a prominent part in other Mahayana sutras. In chapter 9, Sanghnyaya, the general of a class of deities known as Yakshas, comes forward, and he also promises to protect the sutra. Chapter 12 is entitled On Instructions Concerning Divine Kings, and it deals with the ethical, even spiritual basis of kingship. In chapter 13, the Buddha apparently is speaking, and he describes how in a previous life, as a king called Susambhava, he invited a monk called Ratnotia to expound the Sutra of Golden Light. And he also describes how he made offerings to the sutra on a rather lavish scale. Chapter 14 is entitled On the Refuge of the Yakshas. Here the Buddha addresses Shri, the goddess of wealth, and he explains that those who want to worship the Buddhas
of the past, present and future
should listen to the Sutra of Golden Light. He also enumerates a long list of deities that will protect the Sutra. Chapter 15 is a chapter of prophecy and prediction. 10,000 gods come into the presence of the Buddha, come down from heaven. They come to hear the Dharma. And the Buddha predicts that in the infinitely remote future, they will all attain to Buddhahood through their faith in the Sutra of Golden Light. Chapter 16 is entitled On Healing Illness. And it describes how Jalavahana, the merchant's son, learned the whole medical art from his father, and how he travelled all over India curing people of their illnesses. This chapter gives a lot of information about ancient Indian ideas concerning the origin and treatment of disease, and there is particular reference to the influence on health of food and drink and the seasons of the year. Chapters 17 and 18 are versions of Jataka stories. In the first, Jalavahana saves 10,000 fish from dying of drought, and these 10,000 fish are eventually reborn as gods in heaven. And out of gratitude, they come and shower Jalavahana with 40,000 pearl necklaces one night while he's lying asleep. In this chapter, there's also a statement of the law of conditioned co-production, or dependent origination. In the second Jataka story, the Buddha, in a previous existence, sacrifices his life to save the life of a starving tigress and her five cubs. This is, of course, one of the best known of all the Jataka stories, and it's here related at some length. Chapter 19, the last chapter, is entitled On the Praise of All the Tathagatas. And here, in this chapter, innumerable bodhisattvas sing the praises of a certain Buddha. His name is so long, I won't give it to you. It covers 1.5 pages of text. Huh? And the bodhisattva Rucharaketu also sings the praises of that same Buddha, as does a certain goddess, also with a very long name that I won't give you. Huh? And amid general rejoicings, the sutra then concludes. Now, this summary certainly does not do justice to the sutra. It doesn't do justice to its spirit of fervent devotion. The whole sutra simply thrills with devotion to the Buddha and to the Sutra of Golden Light. And the summary does not do justice to what is at times its very great literary beauty. There are very beautiful hymns of praise to the Buddha in this sutra, as beautiful as any that we will meet with in Buddhist literature anywhere. But this summary does perhaps do justice to just one thing, to the highly composite, not to say miscellaneous, character of the sutra. Someone going through this sutra for the first time could not be blamed for thinking that it was a sort of rag bag. A transcendental rag bag, of course. A rag bag containing bits and pieces of wonderful jeweled brocade, but still a rag bag. But nevertheless, the sutra is a whole. It does all hang together. It does possess a spiritual unity of its own. Broadly speaking, the 19 chapters can be classified into three groups. The first group consists simply of chapter 3, that is to say, the chapter of confession. And that, as we have seen, is the original nucleus of the sutra. The second group consists of all those chapters in which gods and goddesses come forward and promise to protect the sutra. The third group consists of all the remaining chapters. Most of these remaining chapters can be regarded as attempts on the part of the sutra to draw into its own orbit all the principal Mahayana teachings, or all the different kinds of Buddhist scriptures. For instance, chapter 2 deals with the measure of life of the Tathagata, and this is one of the two major themes of the White Lotus Sutra. Chapter 5 is concerned with Shunyata, and Shunyata is treated at length in the Sutras of Perfect Wisdom, of which there are more than 30, some very lengthy indeed. Now, in this series of lectures, we shall be concerned mainly with material contained in the first and the second groups. And these chapters, the chapters in the first and the second groups, contain what is, in a way, distinctive to the sutra, contains its special teaching. The first group, consisting of chapter 3, the chapter of confession, represents purification of self or purification of life. It represents the transformation of self. Purification through confession and transformation through confession. So we shall be dealing with confession and with transformation of self or transformation of life in the second and third lectures. But transformation of self, transformation of one's own life, involves transformation of the world. And this is represented by the second group of chapters, those in which the gods and goddesses come forward and promise to protect the sutra. Who these gods and goddesses are and how their promises to protect the sutra represent a transformation of the world, we shall see in the remaining lectures, that is to say, lectures 5 to 8.